an insignificant scene, but she interrupts the piano teacher, the choir teacher, meditating. And she's like, excuse me, he goes, ugh. And he's like, hold on, 2 minutes. And then she interrupts him again, and I'm like, I've got people at work that meditate. And, which is cool, I get it. And there's one that I know that he does, I'll say he, she, that way nobody knows what I'm talking about because I don't want to, but where they do breathing exercises because just stress. I think that's cool. I don't know where they learned it, but it's like they get overwhelmed. And it's like, so they practice that. I know another one who's prone to depression. And then I didn't ask that one, like, what do you do? But they meditate, and they're like, but I get it. It's probably like what we were talking about on the, about, who was about the you saying that we use words that are just, we beat ourselves up.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And so I was thinking about this, this thing about meditation. Actually, it was like, because last week I said this, we were reading in Matthew, and after the Sermon on the Mount, remember when we got to the part about when he says, depart from me, I never knew you? It's like, hey, wait a minute, we did all this stuff. We did this stuff. And then we talked about the issue of knowing him. It's like, it's more than just facts. Right? And it brought me on, that's how I did that Psalm 77 this week. It was just like, okay, God, how am I doing on knowing you, like connecting with you? And because if you, most people, I grew up in a house where if you said the word meditation, you immediately, yeah, right? There was a little freak out moment because, what?
You immediately thought Mid-Eastern
stuff. Yes, totally did, right? Like there's the, this is Far East stuff.
Far East,
you're
yeah.
thinking guys in orange robes and bald heads and they're throwing in the back of the van and getting up you or something. And, but you have this like what's that little
sitar.
What's it? The sitar is you really you don't get that like the incense and incense and candles are going and like get the right fingers right anyway. And so I learned, no, you know, nothing to do with that. My mom would, because I can remember asking as a young guy, what's up with this stuff, you know? Ooh, bad, ooh, it's super bad, bad. And interestingly, you get into the Psalms.
Right. It's the original idea.
I don't know about original, but it's there. It's like, it's all in the Psalms. You get this, there's a huge, actually a lot of insight into meditation in the Psalms. And interestingly, I haven't studied a lot on it because I just started looking, like glimpsing it this week. And it's like, there's not much in the New Testament. So I got to figure out that.
Yeah, sure there is.
Not a lot as far as words that we would, yes, there is. There's concepts of it, but not that.
Not
like, yes.
Not like David doing it.
Yes, right. Yes, right. And I thought, but the concept's still there. Absolutely still there, right? There's a word in the one we see the most. It's this word, I think it's like Haga or Haga, right? And it means to murmur, to ponder, to imagine. You know, kind of like dream. It's funny, if you get in the prophets, a lot of it's translated like mourning, like
sadness.
There's another one is, in fact, it's a big one, just to roar. Can't you just see this?
Mm-hmm.
Like passionate,
mm-hmm.
Right? So the prophets, you see a lot of that in relation to Haga, but it's a lot of talking and speaking. Proverbs has a lot of it as well when
mm-hmm.
it's about instruction,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? So here's some places, here's some Haga verses for you, just so you can kind of get a gist for context, right? Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous.
So then, the word meditate is Haga?
Haga.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you will have good success.
Mm.
Okay. Psalms 1. Verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 63, verse 6 says this. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Psalm 71, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness. Talk.
Mm.
Haga. My tongue shall meditate, talk of your righteousness all day long.
Mm.
It's an interesting context one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Psalms 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth.
Really?
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. There's something coming out. Okay. Psalm 49, verse 3. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. The other word that's used, we see, is it's less, but it's siach, right? This one means to ponder, to converse, to utter, to complain, to muse, to pray, right? In fact, most of the time that one is used, it's not, depending on translation, it's not translated meditate, right? And it's only, you only see it, I think it was like 20 or 30 times, not a lot. Here's some, but it's similar to Haga, okay? So here's some examples of that one. Psalms 119, verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Psalms 119, verse 48 says, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Right? Psalms 119, lots of 119s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that's a lot on the love of the word, right? Psalm 19. Psalm 19, 97, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Verse 99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Here's a couple of verses where they're used in the same verse. Okay. Psalm 77, I read it this morning.
Okay, so what were the two words again? What do you mean?
Haga. They're real similar. Okay. To utter, to imagine, to ponder, to converse. Yeah, they're very similar. Okay, very similar.
And the other is Sikar.
And Siak. Yeah. Right? So in Psalm 77, right, I will also meditate, Haga, on all your word, and I will talk, Siak, of your deeds. Both
so
are meditation words. Right. Is that a fun one? Psalms 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate, Haga, and all your works. I muse, Siach, on the work of your hands. So here's something interesting. You can get, there's bunches. So you can look at all of them. So just a couple of things, you know, when you get them in that, when you get them in context and usage. One is, neither one is, they're not dedicated words to just positive experiences, right? Or peaceful experiences. I mean, sometimes bad stuff's happening, and you're
right.
Like, it might be, I mean, remember one of them? Complaining.
Yeah, right.
Wait a minute!
Right.
You said! Right. And yeah, I like that, the prophets, especially in Isaiah. There's one that I had to go back and study it. It actually uses that roar version, right? Where it says in Isaiah, it, I can't remember where, it's like, I didn't write the verse down, but it's like, your heart will meditate on terror. It's like, man, we need to know, this stuff's happening.
Mm.
And it was one of those, you know? The other one is when it's used as a verb, those two, it always has an object. Okay. There's something that's meditated on, right? It's not a vague concept. It's we're meditating on God's word. We're meditating on God's law. There's always there's something active about it. Okay. So here's a thought I had. Right. Remember that verse in Matthew. I think it was 7, where it says, "Depart from me, I didn't know you." Right? Remember a preacher once telling, and it stuck with me, about one of the largest distances on the planet is about 12 inches. Heard that before? It's like, I know.
Right.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably pops up a lot in relationships, where it's like, I did what you said. I missed your heart. Okay. And so I was thinking about that. One of the things that you see in scripture is meditation, and like takes us from here to here. There's a intentional, if you look at all the instruction it's giving, it's like, man, I just got to get this stuff in me. I got to get this. It's like, oh, that I got to chew on it till I get it. I just need to know it. It's like, right? So if you look at the context of how it's using, it's this bridge. It's this, right? There's Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Right? The testimony of Jesus. So one of the reasons we would, hey, tell me what happened. I prayed for him and his shoulder was healed. Testimony. Mm-hmm. Right? This happened. I was praying for this encounter. Next thing I know, I'm at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we get these testimonies, and what's happening? This that happened for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of a sudden gets dropped inside of me, and there's something up that says, hey, what he did before, he's doing again. There's a confidence I got, right? Scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So one of the things I can lean into in the prophetic is I know who he is,
right?
I know what he's going to do, right? Because I know who he is, I know what he's going to do, right? So one of the reasons we would chew, I appreciate the testimony. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What is it doing? It's giving us like this hope anchor. It's giving us this thing to like transition us, to move us to like, whoa, for more. We're actually moving into this thing of, wow, Jesus thinks this way. Jesus acts this way. Jesus responds this way. I hear these testimonies. Guess what's happening? I'm like starting to get in that same groove, right? I'm starting to think there's like this kingdom release, right? That's what, so meditation's helping me get from acting this way to acting like there's a kingdom response. What's heaven doing? David says this, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. What's happening? It's like, you know why I'm getting it. They're still up here. I'm getting it, is what David's saying, right? Earlier in the book there in Psalm 14, he says, Psalms 119, he says, my mouth speaks, shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Right? And here's another one. Just because they're saying meditation doesn't mean it's a silent undertaking, right? That's the image you get.
Yeah.
Don't interrupt. I would say one of the things I told you guys this morning that I enjoy is this.
Yeah.
You know what we could call this? A meditation session, literally.
Musing.
We're interacting with each other, where there's a conversation that's happening. And it may start like this. This just happened with my kid. And so now all of a sudden, it's like I get to react about, like, what is Kingdom saying about that thing that happened with your kid? What's God say about it? Or maybe it's just my heart connecting with your heart, right? So there's something that's happening that when we connect with each other, when we discuss it with each other, we have a conversation. I invite you into it. I'm not just saying, right. It's inviting you, like, you ever been here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's on your heart? What are you thinking? Right? So it's like we're connecting around, maybe you've got the understanding. I know, right? Our brains are wired for that. That's why, you know, I would say one of the reasons, you know, Koinonia Fellowship, why the church? It's like you're wired for connection, to borrow your testimony for my prophetic hope, to connect with understanding. We're created that way. One way that I could say that, you know, we work problems out. Some people do it like Adam, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
He gets things, he processes things in his brain, in his head, and puts it on paper. Maybe you're a journaler. Hey, I'm not a journaler. It's not mine's this way. I would rather have a cup of coffee and sit with you and just go jibber jabber and talk about stuff. But some people journal, and yay for journalers, because the journaling becomes the thing that they can go back and interact with. Oh my gosh, a year ago I had this encounter. Oh, I remember that encounter. I was sitting on the couch and this happened, right? So that's one thing, one reason to write things down, okay? Right? So David tells us so many times in these in the Psalms, right, that he sat down, he's thinking about it, he's pondering God's promises, he's thinking about God's commands, he's musing on his intentions, right, for us. And he tells us, the part of my day, I woke up like this. What? Process. I'm in bed. Process. I woke up in the middle of the night. Process. Right? And he writes it down. It gets written down. It's like, oh yeah, I get to borrow from that. I get to glean from that. Why was he so, like, you know, so focused on that? I think one of the things for David, it's like we want our thoughts to be in line with his thoughts. Want my thoughts to be in line with his thoughts, right? So that my actions are in line with his actions. You see that in the Psalms, all throughout Psalms. But you need to talk to his soul. Soul, wake up. Soul, listen. Soul, this is who he is. He's like, I got to get this in line with him. I'm getting this in, right? Because I know that when I do, then my response is going to be like him. And I like this statement that Bill Johnson makes. I think it was Bill. He says, I can't afford to have a thought in my mind.
Yeah.
You remember how it goes? That's not in his.
That's not it.
I can't afford to have a thought in my mind that's not in his, right? So one of the most important aspects of meditation then is what's the word? I was going to say mindful, right? Right. You ever, I remember when I was asking mom about meditation as a boy, because there was always this thing about emptying our minds, right? Nothingness. And it was probably on my mind when I said that, because this morning when I said nature abhors a vacuum, you ever heard that? The science thing. Nature abhors a vacuum.
Oh,
okay. Nature abhors a vacuum. Why? Science says something's going to fill it.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
It will be filled.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I open up that door, and there's going to be something inside might go out based on pressure, something out might come in. There's something could happen with my temperature, right? There's an exchange, something's going to happen here when I open up. Okay. So here you go. Yeah, bugs. Open up.
Right.
Moss coming in. All the moss, right, Justin? Yeah. Moss, gnats, flies coming in. What's happening? They're filling the space. They're out there. So here we go. If we leave our minds open, that's why that's, you know, just empty yourself, get rid of stuff. Something's going to fill it. But here's why that's a bad thing. Right? You say, yeah, but I trust God. Hold on. Here's what his word says. In Isaiah, God tells us, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Mm.
Nor are your ways my ways.
Right.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Right? So there's this thing that's intentional that says, look, I know who I am. I know what I'm prone to ponder. Right? So now we get into what we learn in the New Testament. What are the concepts that Paul, a lot from Paul especially, that it's like there's something conscious that we need to be thinking on, right? Processing, because 2 Corinthians, he says, hey, we've got to bring every thought here into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Right? So what am I doing? It's like, look, I'm not just saying empty it, go.
Right.
Right? I know for a fact, no, I've got to, like David tells us, man, this, I've got to line this thinker up with his thinker. Mm-hmm. Right? So my actions are his actions. Right? So there's that one of those words in the New Testament is meletheo, right? And there's some conversation with Paul and Timothy when Paul's basically telling Timothy, hey, don't neglect the Holy Spirit, right? And he's basically telling him to, hey, give yourself the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to focusing thing on these things. So he's encouraging Timothy in his conduct, in his love, and in his faith, and in his purity, and in his giving. He says, like pay attention to that, right? Right? So it's a meditation concept. Pay attention to those things, right? But I'll end with this last one here. It's the one that's in the New Testament that we'd be most familiar with, right? And this one, the word is logizomai, right? It means to take inventory. Do some reckoning. Do some supposing. Hey, how are things going? Let's think about some stuff here, right? Let's ponder some stuff, right? And here's where we see it, Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8. Where we read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here we get to this word. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Come on, that's so good.
Right? Just hang out with these things. What did you say about the self-talk people, this culture, like, they're just chewing on negative.
Yeah.
They're just processing all day long, they're processing negative.
They're brutal to themselves.
So, right, and they're prone to depression. They're prone to disappointment. What are they doing? They're meditating.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening? It's almost like you're aligning your finger with hopelessness, right? Romans 12:2. What is it? Huh? Oh, what's he tell us about renewing our mind?
Don't be conformed.
Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could prove, demonstrate, line up with, release, be a glory burster of the will of God, of the good and perfect will of God. Right?
Mm.
And so just another layer, maybe another, you know, scoop of frosting on the, you know, when he says just to know him. How do we step into knowing him? So just some encouragement this morning. It's like it's intentional. It's you got your words.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get beyond intentional. It's like it doesn't just happen.
Right.
Right? So that means there's conversations you're gonna have.
There's an action.
That aren't gonna just be, you know, complaint sessions. Oh, did you hear that they, you know, that you're actually, hey, be intentional to, like, celebrate good. Be intentional to, like, enjoy his testimony of what's happening. Share the testimony. Be intentional to, like, be releasers of kingdom, you know, that culture, kingdom heaven. Be be glory burst people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Wherever you go, okay? So meditate on, right? It's doing that sort of gap. We're just closing the gap. Why? David says that my thoughts are his thoughts, and my actions are his thoughts. So that my actions would become his actions, right? So.
Thanks, Jesus.
Thanks, God. So simple word, simple instruction. It's like it's right in front of us. And when we see it like that, it's like, oh, so God, it's like it's almost like reaffirming. We have a baseline. You've told us this, God. And sometimes we wander from it, or we just haven't been stewarding it well. So let's just be good stewards. So Holy Spirit, there's an invitation we're making to you today into our thinking, our heart processing, our actions. You tell us you're teaching us, confirming for us, encouraging us, God, that Holy Spirit is doing those things. So we say, Holy Spirit, help us in this securing of meditation, of just securing your word inside of us, God, that we become knowers and doers and beers of kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.